This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. This is Riyad Razazi. Welcome you all to the Seerah of the Prophet Muhammad SAW, entitled Walking Upon the Footsteps of the Prophet Muhammad SAW, or Walking with the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Very happy to see you back, sisters and brothers, those of you on Facebook and those of you on Instagram. Jazakum Allah khair for tuning in. Today we are with episode number 11. About the still with the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yesterday we talked about the when Khadija radiallahu anha, the first woman who embraced Islam, and then after Khadija, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke to Ali radiallahu anhu wardah, to Abu Bakr Siddiq as well radiallahu anhu wardah. These are the very first people who embraced Islam. You have Khadija, you have Ali, you have Zayd, who also used to live with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then you have Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wardah. And I mentioned that Abu Bakr, as soon as he embraced Islam, he did not wait, He did not wait to become a scholar in deen to give da'wah. Right? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wardah, he did not wait to learn so much about Islam to become a scholar to give da'wah to others. So right away he went, and then he brought back six people from the Mubashirin of Jannah. Six people who were given the glad tidings that they were from the people of Jannah. Six of them, he brought them on the spot. One of them is Uthman radiallahu anhu wardah, and then Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Talha ibn Ubaidillah. All these, they came, they embraced Islam through Abu Bakr Siddiq. And that's why the Prophet Muhammad والسلام, used to say that if you were to weigh the iman of Abu Bakr, if you were to put the iman on Abu Bakr on one scale, like on one hand of a scale, and then you put the iman of the entire ummah, the iman of the entire ummah on another scale, like on the other hand of the scale, iman of Abu Bakr will outweigh the iman of the entire ummah. Abu Bakr. We will talk more about Abu Bakr sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this man who went, and he, all the others, the Prophet Muhammad said, they all had to question me, or they all had to, maybe some had to argue with Rasulullah. Abu Bakr did not argue whatsoever, didn't ask no questions. As soon as Prophet Muhammad told him, I am Rasulullah, and this is the revelation that I got, and then right away, Abu Bakr saddaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He believed the Prophet and he embraced Islam sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So there were about 27 men who embraced Islam, 18 women who embraced Islam in a matter of 5 to 6 months, right? In less than 5 to 6 months, in about 3 months, you know, there were about 200 people who embraced Islam. Amongst them, there are some poor, the majority were poor, and there were some that were rich. Uthman ibn Affan was rich, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, he was rich, Abu Bakr Siddiq was rich, but the majority were poor. Bilal embraced Islam at that time as well. There were some shabab, there were some youth who embraced Islam as well. You know, there were a lot of youth, there were women, there were men, there were elderly people. So, you know, it's a little bit of a mixture between, you know, youngsters and elders who embraced Islam. So now Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he thought to convey the message to his family, right? So he invited them. He invited his family members. There were about 45 people, right? There were about 45 people who embraced Islam, I mean, from his family, not embraced Islam, from his family, who Prophet Muhammad invited for a meal, right? For a meal to come in, and then he wanted to sort of invite them to Islam. So after they ate, which is, here's another little bit of a tip when you want to give da'wah, right? You know, and you want to invite someone, you wait until you feed that person before you talk to that person, right? So Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he fed them first, you know, and after finishing, you know, the food, and as he was about to talk, and then his uncle Abu Lahab spoke up right away, right? He did not give a chance to Prophet Muhammad to speak. So Abu Lahab stood and started talking. اعلم يا محمد. No, O Muhammad. إننا ليس لنا بالعرب طاقة. He said that we have no power over the Arabs. Because that which you're saying will cause animosity between us and the Arabs. And we have no power over the Arabs. That which you're saying, you know, to worship only one God. Because they heard about it, right? They heard about what the Prophet was doing, you know, and was saying. So when they came in, Abu Lahab was the first to speak. And remember, sisters and brothers, what I said in maybe in the third episode or the fourth episode, I said that this is basically, you know, this hatred, you know, the fact that they were so stubborn, you know, especially Quraysh, you know, his own family members, they were so stubborn about, you know, not embracing Islam. It was not actually, didn't have anything to do with their iman. They knew that, you know, Allah Azza wa Jal is the creator. They had that iman. They had that iman that it is Allah who is the creator, who is the doer, who is the provider, who is everything, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they had that type of iman. But they lacked the other more important type of iman, which is al-uluhiyya, tawheed al-uluhiyya. You know, tawheed al-rububiyya, they had. But they did not have tawheed al-uluhiyya. What is the difference? The difference is, tawheed al-rububiyya is, you know, the to believe that Allah is the creator, Allah is the provider, Allah is the one who gives life, Allah is the one who gives death. وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ. Allah says that in the Quran in many verses. If you were to ask them who created the heavens and earth, they will say Allah. So they believed in Allah. But the problem that they had was, they, instead of going to Allah directly by means of dua and prayers, they used to use those idols. So that's called Tawheed Uluhiyya. Uluhiyya, to worship Allah. No, they did not worship Allah alone. They had to associate someone with the worship of Allah. When they sought help, they did not seek help to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They sought help through the idols, you know. So Tawheed Uluhiyya, when you feel Allah alone. When you pray to Allah alone. When you make dua to Allah alone. When you make tawakkul on Allah alone. So this is the very most important type of tawheed, and Quraysh had a problem with that, right? So they said that we don't have no power over the Arabs, because this is an economical battle now. It's all about trade. And if they were to embrace Islam, that means they will have to destroy their idols. And if they were to destroy their idols, that means خلاص, it will affect their tijara, it will affect their trade. And remember what I said, how many idols was actually put inside the Kaaba and around the Kaaba? Brothers and sisters, those of you on Facebook and those on Instagram, I spoke about this, I gave you this little, you know, this info a few weeks ago. How many idols altogether were stored inside the Kaaba and around the Kaaba? MashaAllah, more kani, zakallah khair. Sister Yashmin. 360 idols. And those 360 idols belong to different tribes. And the deal was, you know, if Quraysh was to put a, let's say there's a tribe, they had an idol that belonged to them. So they will take that idol, they will put it inside the Kaaba. In return, Quraysh will do their trade freely. That tribe, if the caravan of Quraysh was to cross, you know, and pass by that tribe, it will be safe. So it was all about tijara, it was all about business, it was all about trade, right? So they knew that if they were to embrace Islam, they will have to get rid of all those idols, which means their business will be affected. So Abu Lahab said, we cannot afford to cause any animosity with the Arabs. Right? So Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, did he argue back with his uncle? Prophet Muhammad, he knew when to talk and he knew when to not talk. He knew when to react and when to stay calm. So when his uncle spoke first, Prophet Muhammad kept quiet. He didn't say anything. He did not give da'wah. Even da'wah, brothers and sisters. You have to know when to give da'wah and when is the right time to give da'wah and is the right place to give da'wah. Al-amr bil-ma'ruf wal-nahy al-munkar. Write down. Take this note from me, inshallah ta'ala. This is gold that I'm going to try to give you right now. Right? Take note. Right? So, al-amr bil-ma'ruf and al-nahy al-munkar. Enjoining good and forbidding evil. It has to be done in accordance with some rules. What are the rules? في الوقت الذي ينبغي في المكان الذي ينبغي على المنهج الذي ينبغي. Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi says, when you want to give da'wah, you know, enjoining good and forbidding evil, you have to pick the right time, the right place, the right words. Why? Because you may want to enjoin good, right? That your intention is good. You intend to enjoin good, but you chose the wrong words, or you chose the wrong time, or you chose the wrong place. Let's say there's a sheikh who's giving a lecture, and he said something that is a little bit controversial, right? And the sheikh is in front of people. There's a big gathering, and then maybe you had the answer, and then you want to argue with the sheikh, with the imam and whatnot, with the speaker. Let's just say speaker in general. Maybe what will happen, you know, the speaker maybe will have a little ego that will kick in, and he will not realize, you know, he will not realize that, he will not admit that he was wrong, because there's people around. So he will start making up, you know, excuses or justifications or just trying to argue with you, you know, although he knows maybe inside that, you know, I'm wrong, but because you pointed out, you know, his mistake or his fault in front of people, he may react. It will be like headbutting, you know. So you did not speak the right words, or you did not pick the right place, nor the right time. The right time, right? Until he fed them. So my belly is full. Now I can listen to you. Don't talk to me when my belly is empty, I'm hungry. You can give me an admonition all you want, but my belly is empty, I'm hungry. I may not be an attentive listener. Right? I may not be an attentive listener. So this is, you could use with your children, with your, you know, loved ones, with your friends, you know, use these tips about, you know, giving advice. When you need to give an advice, you have to pick the right place, the right time, and the right words. Between husbands and wives, the wife could be right, but then because the way she spoke to her husband, or maybe she chose the wrong words, her husband will not accept and he will start arguing with her, right? Because of the words she picked, or maybe vice versa, right? So that's why you have to, you know, pick the right words. You have to be hakim, you have to be wise. Wisdom. وَمَنْ أُوْتِيَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever is being blessed with hikmah, he's been blessed with a lot of good. You know what hikmah is? Wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is to be able, again, to say the right words at the right time. Hikmah, hakim, wise. Is this the right time for me to enjoin good and forbid evil? If it's not the right time, then don't do it. Right? If it's not the right time, don't do it, because that good that you're trying to enjoin may turn out to be wrong, may turn out to be bad, may turn out to be against you. So when you want to enjoin good, you do it at the right time, the right place, the right moment. Using the right words. So Prophet Muhammad, he did not argue back with his uncle. He kept quiet. He kept quiet. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, this is not the right time to argue. So he invited them again. He invited them again. There were less people. And he invited again his uncle Abu Lahab. Just to avoid, you know, hatred and animosity. He invited his uncle again. And he invited his, you know, family. And he, you know, for a meal. So after they, you know, Prophet Muhammad sallam, you know, offered them the meal, and after they ate and finished eating, Prophet Muhammad jumped and spoke first this time. He did not want to give a chance to his uncle to speak. Prophet Muhammad spoke first. So how did he start? He started with Alhamdulillah. أحمده واستعينه واستغفره وأعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده. You know this khutbah, brothers and sisters, that you hear in Jum'ah? Brothers and sisters, are you there? Brothers from and sisters from Facebook and Instagram, are you there? When you go for Jum'ah, then the Imam starts with Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. Praise be to Allah, we glorify Him, we praise Him. And, you know, you heard that before? Morkani, you there? Yashmin, you're there? Who else is there? Hafiz Khan is there, and Shazia, she's there? And Fatima Karim, mashallah, na'am, she's there, and Taqwa, she's there? Alrighty, and Nawal, she's there. Okay. Zoe, wa alaikum hi. right? So Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, he started with that. Before he spoke, he started with praising Allah Azza wa Jalla and glorifying Him. Right? Inna alhamdulillah, ahmadu wa nasta'inu wa uminu biya wa tawakkalu alayhi wa shahadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. And then he says, after he started by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters, always, if you want to give advice, if you want to give a sermon, if you want to give a talk, if you want to give a speech, start with Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah. Start by glorifying Allah Azza wa Jal, right? Making thana, praising Him and glorifying Him, and sending salutations upon Prophet Muhammad Azza wa Jal. Allah will put barakah in whatever you try to say. Right? Remember this. If it's an English speech, in front of people that are not Muslims, you can start with, you know, in the name of God, the most merciful, the most, you know, compassionate, and I send my salutations upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you think it's not maybe something wise in front of people, you can say it quietly, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. But always start with sending, you know, with glorifying Allah, praising Him, and sending salutations of our Prophet. Allah will put barakah in anything that you say. And then he said, Wallahi law kadhabtu an-nasa jami'a ma kadhabtukum. If I were to lie amongst all people, but I will not lie to you. I will not lie to you, you're my family. You're my family. I will not lie to you. And then he says, Wallahi la ilaha illa ghayruh inni la rasulullahi ilaykum. Khassah wa ila an-nasi ammah. By the one who holds my soul, I am Prophet of Allah, Messenger of Allah, sent to you, O my family, khassah. And then to the whole world, you know, ammah. Yani to you privately and to the whole world, you know, in general. Not only to you and to the entire world. I am Prophet of Allah, I'm the Messenger of Allah. And then he says, Ya Bani Hashim. Ya Bani Hashim. They were all from Bani Hashim, you know, his family. Ya Bani Hashim. He said, Unqudu anfusakum min an-nar, save yourselves from her fire. Ya Bani Abd al-Muttalib, O Bani Abd al-Muttalib, the other, you know, family, the cousins. Ya Bani Abd al-Muttalib, save yourselves from her fire. Ya Abbas, O Abbas, save yourself from her fire. Abbas, his uncle. Ya Safiya, my aunt, his aunt, save yourself from her fire. Ya Fatima bint Muhammad, save yourself from her fire. فَإِنِّي لَا أَمْلِكُ لَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. There is nothing I can do, you know, for you if you were to be thrown in hellfire. I cannot help you. I can help you now. I'm trying to direct you. I'm trying to direct you to the right path. But if you were to be thrown in hellfire, I will not be able to help you. You've got to embrace Islam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Fatima. And then he turned to Fatima and he told her, oh Fatima, ask me anything you wish. Ask me from my wealth or from the money, anything you wish. لَكِنِّ لَا أَمْلِكُ لَكِ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. But with regards to Allah, there is nothing I can do for you if you were to be thrown in hellfire, or if Allah was to get angry at you. Other than that, ask me anything you want, I can help. But with regard to Allah Azza wa Jal, there is a line, there's boundaries that we cannot transcend. There are certain boundaries we can't cross. Al-Abbas, his uncle, he put his head down and he didn't speak. Abu Talib, the man, again, the one who argued with him last time. Abu Talib. No. That was Abu Lahab. Abu Talib, it is his uncle who took care of him. He remembered Abdul Muttalib. He remembered his father. He remembered, you know, the grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad before he died. He told him to look after the Prophet Muhammad and to take care of him. So Abu Talib, he defended and supported Prophet Muhammad. He says, Imdi, go on with your thing. Go on, I shall support you and defend you as long as I live. This is Abu Talib. And Abu Talib, by the way, he never embraced Islam. Yet, he supported and defended the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I shall support you as long as I live. Did anybody embrace Islam that day from his family? No. The women kept quiet. Hamza put his head down. He did not say a word. There was only one boy who stood up. There was only one boy who came to him and he says, I want to embrace Islam. Brothers and sisters, who was that boy? Those of you on Facebook and those of you on Instagram, who was that boy? All the others, they put their heads down. The women, the men, nobody wanted to say a word except one boy. Umm Taqwa, you're right, Ali. Ali radiallahu anhu wa'adha, he came and he says, I will believe you. I believe in you. And then people started laughing. You know, this little kid, he was about maybe between 10, 11 years old, little kid saying, I. And then they started laughing at him. So he came and he said to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, give me your hand. Give me your hand. And then he shook the hand of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasalam and he said, I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but you, but Allah, astaghfirullah. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and you, O Muhammad, is the messenger of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Hada Ali, radiallahu anhu Allah. So now, they left. What would the Prophet do? I invited them. They did not embrace Islam. My family and only a few other members for people, you know, embrace Islam. But this message, this mission, this message has to go through. It has to come out. So Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam has been given the order, فَصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. In Surah Al-Hijr, verse number 24, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Prophet Muhammad, اصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ فَصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ. Go and convey the message. Go and convey the message. وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. So Prophet Muhammad عليه السلام, he stood up on the mount of As-Safa. You know, brothers and sisters, those of you who go for al-Umrah, when you go for Umrah or Hajj, when you go to As-Safa, in the mount of As-Safa, this is the mount of Safa, Marwa, when Hajar radiallahu anha wardaha used to go for the Sa'i, ma bayna As-Safa wal Marwa, right? So Prophet Muhammad, he stood on the mount of As-Safa. Right, and people were there, and then he started calling, "Ya Banu Abd Manaf, Ya Banu Abdul Muttalib, Ya banu Adi, ya banu Fihr, ya banu. He started calling all those tribes, all of them. Ya banu so, ya banu so, also so, ya banu so. He called by tribes and people are gathering. They all got gathered, you know, around Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, Ara'aytum, if I were to tell you that behind me, behind this mount, there is an army coming to attack you, would you believe me? They said, yes, of course we'll believe you. You are Al-Amin. Look, look, look. No, look. They testified. They testified that he was Al-Amin, that he was the truthful. نعم أرأيتم إن أخبرتكم أن وراء هذا الجبل جيشا يريد أن يغير عليكم أكنتم مصدقي? If I were to tell you that behind me, behind this mountain, there is an army coming to attack you, would you believe me? They said, yes. ما جربنا عليك كذبا قط. You never lied to us. You're known to be Al-Amin. You're known to be Al-Amin. This is how they did it. And then he says, the Prophet says, فَإِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ نَذِيرٌ لَكُمْ بَيْنِ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ. He says, I am Rasul from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you. Rasul إِلَيْكُمْ, I'm a messenger of Allah azza wa jal to you. Warning you of عذاب شديد. Warning you of a stern punishment. Then people kept quiet. People kept quiet. What? I mean, Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, Al-Amin, he never lied. But now he's telling us he's a messenger of God. They all kept quiet. Except one man. One man again. Abu Lahab, his uncle. Yeah, and if it's somebody else, all right, but somebody from your own blood. From your own blood, from your own family, your uncle stood and said, تَبَّلْ لَكْ أَلِهَذَا جَمَعْتَنَا. Oh, to you. Is this why you gathered us here? To tell us about this nonsense? Again, it's all about business. Because he was a businessman, he was afraid about his trade. أَلِهَذَا جَمَعْتَنَا. Right away, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. People dispersed. People dispersed, but Prophet Muhammad, he conveyed the message. He told them that he was a prophet, a messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed on behalf of Abu Lahab. From there on, you know, he was not named Abu Lahab. But Allah azza wa jal called him, Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tabba. Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tabba. ما أغنى عنه ماله وما كسب سيصلى نارا ذات لهب وامرأته حمالة الحطب حمالة الحطب and حمالة الحطب in one you know in ورش and حفص وامرأته حمالة الحطب أو حمالة الحطب في جيدها حبل من مسد تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب. Cursed he is أبو لهب. Cursed he is and he might be أبو لهب وتب. Brothers and sisters, what would the Prophet do after that? Would he remain quiet? Or would he go on and convey the message? Because that was the order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to convey the message. So that's what he did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He kept on talking and he kept on conveying. Initially, but amongst these closer members of the family, among his closer, you know, friends and remember, you know, he had help as well, because Abu Bakr would go and call others and Uthman would call others and so on and so forth. 200 people embraced Islam. 200 people. Quraysh, they were about 3,000. 200 people embraced Islam. So Quraysh, they had to react. They had to counterattack. Because at this time, they left Prophet Muhammad alone. They did not harm him, nor disturbed him and whatnot, Prophet Muhammad kept doing what he was doing, right? So now, you know, Quraysh, they had to react. So what did they do? They had a plan. First, they started spreading doubts about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They used about five methods. The first method was that they started spreading doubts about Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. At-tashkik. Sometimes they would say he was a magician, majnoon, crazy, insane. But they settled on sahir. There was this man by the name of Al-Walid bin Mughira, who is the father of Khalid bin Walid. Right? Al-Walid bin Mughira was from the elite of the people of Quraysh. He's the father of Khalid bin Walid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed some verses from the Quran, from Surah Al-Muddathir, on behalf of this man. Because he heard Prophet Muhammad talking. So he went and he heard and listened. He knew this man was not fake. He knew this man was not a con. He knew he was speaking the truth. But remember, again, it was all about the stubbornness. It's all about trade and business. It's going to affect their business if they were to embrace Islam and then destroy the idols. ذرني ومن خلقت وحيدا وجعلت له مالا ممدودا وبنين شهودا ومهدت له تمهيدا إنه كان لآياتنا عنيدا إنه فكر وقدر فقتل كيف قدر ثم قتل كيف قدر ثم نظر فبصر ثم أدبر واستكبر ثم قال إن هذا إلا سحر يؤثر إن هذا إلا قول البشر سأصليه سقر. Surah Al-Muddathir, verse number 20, from verse number 11 to about 27. So they said, what should we call him? Should we say is he a witchcrafter? Is he a magician? Is he crazy? Is he a poet? What is he? What is he? He said, just say he is sahir. He is a magician. He plays magic with his words. They started ridiculing Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Are you there, brothers and sisters? Those of you on Facebook and those of you on Instagram? I've got Facebook here and Instagram right there. Are you still there, brothers and sisters? Are you following up? Are you following up? I'm just taking you slowly here, you know, telling you about some, you know, instances that happened at the time of the Prophet. This is between the third and sixth year after the prophecy of the Prophet Muhammad, after the bi'tha of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? So this is between the third year and the sixth year of the bi'tha of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? So Quraysh is reacting to the efforts of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Zakum Allah khair. I'm just making sure because I cannot see you. So at least if you're connecting with me, you know, through, you know, maybe your text, I can see that you're there. All right. Okay. So they started, you know, sending doubts about Prophet or spreading doubts about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then they also started, you know, ridiculing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ridiculing him. Making, you know, fun about, you know, of him. When Prophet Muhammad is making tawaf, they would just laugh at Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, brothers and sisters, today, maybe they are making fun of you and I. Maybe they're making fun of you and I about, you know, the beard, or maybe about your hijab, or maybe about your niqab, or maybe about your habaya, or maybe about your name, or maybe about your color, skin color. Maybe they're making fun, you know, about you and I, and ridiculing and saying things behind our back or front of us or whatnot. They did the same about Prophet Muhammad before you and I. Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. They said, وقالوا يا أيها الذي يا أيها الذي نزل عليه الذكر إنك لمجنون. They said you are majnoon, you are crazy, you're insane. Prophet keeps on doing his job. Prophet kept doing his job, but they kept on ridiculing him. Ummu Jamil. And you know, they was trying, you know, making fun of him. Ummu Jamil, she's the wife of Abu Lahab. She would take hatab, she would take this, you know, bushes and you know, and dirt and whatnot, and then she would throw it by the door of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet Muhammad would come out in the morning, and then he would see this dirt and this, you know, and whatnot. He would just so and clean it, and he would say, "Is this how you treat your neighbor? I'm your neighbor." Even the Arabs, they had the notion of a neighbor. Quraysh, they were not Muslims, but still they had this notion of neighboring. You know, I'm your neighbor. At least treat me with respect. I'm your neighbor. أَهَذَا حَقُّ الْجَارِ. Is it the right of the jar? Is it the right of the neighbor? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla completed the revelation of Surah Al-Masad.
وَامْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبِ فِي جِيدِهَا حَبْلٌ مِّن مَّسَدٍ.
About the wife of Abu Lahab. حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبِ. She's the one who's carrying that hatab on her back. They used to call him Muthammam. Not Muhammad, Muthammam. You know, someone who's ugly, who's sick, who's whatnot. Muhammad, Muthammam, Muthammam. And he does not respond. He doesn't respond. The Sahaba did not, they were, you know, sad, they were angry. The Prophet says, they call him Muthammam. My name is not Muthammam. My name is Muhammad. They call him Muthammam. I'm not Muthammam. I'm Muhammad. Let them call whatever they want to call. But Prophet Muhammad got really sad as well, because he's conveying the message to his loved ones. And a lot of them don't want to believe yet. Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed in Surah Al-Hijr, verse number 97.
وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ.
And we know that your breast becomes tight because of what they say. Make tasbih to my Lord and be from the sajideen. We know, O Muhammad, that they are, your breast is tight because, you know, you feel bad, you feel sad of, you know, of what they say about you and about Islam and you know, and they don't want to listen and whatnot. But what should you do in return? Make tasbih, glorify the Lord and praise Him, and be min as-sajideen and do lots of salah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him to. They also used to cause him emotional harm, emotional abuse. What kind of emotional abuse? They used to say that Muhammad, he's abtar. Muhammad cannot have children. Muhammad cannot have boys. And this is a shame for the Arabs. It's an insult. It's an insult for the Arabs at the time. Muhammad, he's abtar, abtar, an abtar man. An abtar is someone who cannot have, you know, boy, you know, male children. And of course, Prophet Muhammad, you know, whatever male children he had, like Abdullah and Al-Qasim, they died. He was left with, you know, four girls. The two boys died. So they were insulting him for not being able to have boys. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Prophet Muhammad,
"Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, fasalli li rabbika wanhar, inna shani'aka huwal abtar."
Allah. Here, a name of Allah that was revealed. What name of Allah? The name of Allah, Al-Jabbar. Who is Al-Jabbar? Al-Jabbar, sisters, brothers, remember this name of Al-Jabbar. If somebody deceives you, if somebody breaks your heart, when somebody, you know, breaks your heart, you can't go to a doctor and say, "Doctor, my heart is broken. I need you to mend my heart." When your heart is broken, call upon Al-Jabbar, the one who mends the heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Al-Jabbar reveals to Prophet Muhammad, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. We have blessed you with Al-Kawthar. And Al-Kawthar is a basin in Jannah that was only given to Prophet Muhammad. It's a basin in Jannah. If you were to drink from it, you shall never be thirsty again. The water is sweeter than honey, whiter than milk. Clearer and whiter than milk and sweeter than honey. If you were to drink from it, you shall never feel thirsty again. That was given to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was given to Prophet Muhammad. So instead of having boys, children, boys, Allah gave you something better instead. Allah gave you Al-Kawthar. Allahu Akbar. So what do you want? You want boys or you want Al-Kawthar? Give me Al-Kawthar. Huh, sisters, do you want to get married or you want Al-Kawthar? Sheikh, we want both. Can we have both? brothers, you want to get married or you want Al-Kawthar? Sheikh, come on, Al-Kawthar there, but here marriage, man, you know? Al-Kawthar there, but here I want boy. No? Allahu Akbar. You want Al-Kawthar or you want to get married? You want Al-Kawthar or you want a boy? You want Al-Kawthar or you want a son? Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar fasalli li rabbika wanhar inna shani'aka huwal abtar. Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab, the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad, had two daughters. They were married, I mean, he had two sons, and they were married to the daughters of Prophet Muhammad, Ruqayya and Umm Kulthum. Ruqayya and Umm Kulthum, they were married to the sons of Abu Lahab. At the time, it was not prohibited yet. At the time, it was not prohibited. So they were still married to non-believers. He came and he made them divorce their wives. He made them divorce their wives. Good thing, anyways. Later on, Allah Azza wa Jalla will bless them with something better, with someone who's better. And then came the other method that they used against Prophet Muhammad is physical abuse. Physical abuse? How? What kind of physical abuse? What would the Prophet do? Would they physically abuse him? Would they hit him? Would they try to persecute him? Torture him? What kind of physical abuse? What did the Prophet do? Did he make dua against them? Did he make dua against them? Against his own family members? How about the Sahaba? What happened to the Sahaba? To the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Ibn Mas'ud, he will embrace Islam. What surah would he recite at the Kaaba right there that would enrage Quraysh? And then Bilal, and then Al-Khabbab, and then Ammar, and then Yasir, and then Sumayya. What will happen to them? Islam did not come easy to you and I. Islam came with a lot of sacrifice. Islam came with lots of bloodshed. People who really got killed just because they said, La ilaha illallah. What will happen after that year between the 3rd and the 6th of Dhul Hijrah? And who amongst the elite will embrace Islam and will make a change and a turn, a pivotal turn, in the life of Islam at the time? Brothers and sisters, inshallah ta'ala, next week we will carry on the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Next Friday, same time, same place, we'll carry on the seerah of the greatest man ever. The most beloved man to Allah and the greatest man that Allah has ever created, your prophet and my prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Thank you, sisters, and thank you, brothers, for joining. May Allah bless you. May Allah reward you. Jazakum Allah khair. Looking forward to seeing you next week. Have a great week, inshallah ta'ala, and see you all Friday, inshallah. Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum. Jazakum Allah khair. Thank you so much. Thank you for attending. Thank you. Thank you for being there. Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Alaikum assalam. Assalamu alaikum. Those of you who've come in late, please go back and watch the session. They're all recorded on YouTube, on Instagram, on Facebook. Go and sign up, you know, and follow me on YouTube as well. You will find all my videos, even those that are not recorded on Facebook and Instagram, you will find them on YouTube, inshallah. Thank you again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.